Hey everybody, Tuesday, it's Garrett. Man, it's a beautiful day, again. This is crazy weather we're having here. So I live in the Northeast, in the Western New York part of New York. Stink bugs aplenty, but nonetheless, it is, man, it is an amazing day. I'm sitting here sweating. I mean, I was just exercising, but it's really nice. It's like 80 here today. We're loving it here in the East Coast. It's almost ready to snow here, so we'll take all these nice warm days. Anyway, I know I kind of went off on a tangent yesterday on, you know, I started off with Synth Wave and then I went off into politics. And, you know, even a lot of my friends and acquaintances online, there's a lot going on today, you know, on social media that even us musicians are enjoying discussing and debating politics. And, you know, a guy that I interact with occasionally, we do similar styles of music. He's real talented. It's Cloud Chord is his name, is the artist name. And go check him out. But really good stuff. But he plays awesome guitar stuff. So anyway, he posted something about Trump. And we kind of got into it on the comments. And, you know, what I wanted to say was, you know, I welcome that. And I think that should be the example. Not that I'm, you know, superior or anything special. But I'm just saying, you know, why can't we just work on some of these things? You know, it's okay if you disagree with me. It's okay if you even use harsh words with me. I'm not offended by that. And this is going to sound bad, but I think part of the problem is that a lot of the people that we're dealing with are they're at an intellectual level where that kind of crap, you know, the sticks and stones crap, they get all bent butthurt over somebody calling them a name. Or, you know, and I'm not saying that bullying and being nasty is the right way to go, but somebody has to rise above it. You know what I mean? In any kind of debate, conversation, interaction, there's always compromise. And if there isn't, which is kind of what we're seeing now in our government, it's just a disaster. It's a complete stalemate of nonsense. And like I said the other day, it's just tomfoolery and filibustering and just no progress at all made on anything other than, well, I'm going to try to block you in every way. And we're going to just outvote you because we have the majority of the House. But it's this exercise in futility where it just goes round and round and round. And, you know, while again, I said yesterday, I understand why the Republicans are doing what they're doing. I just can't understand why we can't find some common ground. Sure, everybody hates Trump. I get that. You're pissed off that he won the election. I also get that. No one saw that coming. Even people that voted for him didn't see that coming. So, you know, it happened. Whatever. Deal with it. I think the Democrats could do themselves far more justice if they focused on some really strong candidates coming up for the next election. That would be priority one. Find someone where there's no longer a divided country on the person we want to elect for president, regardless of the party that that person represents. You get the right person in there, and it's a unanimous win. Now, I'm not saying it should be a unanimous win. I'm just saying we should find the best person. So instead of focusing so much effort on trying to get rid of Trump because they don't have a candidate they believe in enough and they feel is strong enough to take him out in the next election, maybe they should be focusing on that, because honestly, that's going to do our country a whole lot better. Because if everyone's so pissed about Trump now, if he gets reelected for another 4 years, we've got another 4 years of that. And then we've got another 4 years of probably the same thing we've had so far, right? Just back and forth. One side hating the other, nobody working together, nothing actually getting accomplished. But then on the other side of things, I'm very disappointed in the fact that, you know, if you're a Republican and you're supporting the president, why is no one bringing any of this stuff to justice? If the Democrats can do that to the Republicans or to our president, why is no one able to do anything against the Democrats? I apologize for my ignorance if I don't understand why that is, but I just don't understand that. And I'm just a regular person out there in society. So I bet there's a lot of people that don't understand why nothing is being done about this, and why if there is fake news and you know, politics are influencing, one side of the political spectrum is influencing, you know, all of the media, with the exception of what Fox, I guess, is on the Trump side. How is that? How are we... Who do we think we're fooling here, man? I mean, this is just getting out of pocket and coming off the rails to such a degree that, you know, Trump says outrageous things as a president. he's not really saying outrageous things as a person or as a businessman, because he's always said this crap for 30, 40 years, for as long as I can remember. He's always been a loudmouth buffoon that just shoots his mouth off whenever he feels like it. And to some degree, I respect that, because the guy just doesn't give a shit. You know what I mean? He's at that level where, I don't care what you think, I'm going to do this. If you don't like it, lump it. And quite honestly, I've been around a number of CEOs and people that, while they weren't as brash as he is, they had that same attitude. So that to me is a commonality amongst CEOs or people at the entrepreneurial level of power like that, that, you know, you either roll with me or I'm going to roll over you. And no one cares, because they just don't. That whole premise of that entire construct is based on massive amounts of risk. You know, if you listen to everybody telling you, let's take music, for example, you know, we do this, I think, a lot as musicians coming up. If all you did was listen to the people talking shit about you and telling you you weren't going to make it, you'd have quit, you know, 3 weeks into it. Because the majority of us, unfortunately, have more people around us that don't support us than do. You know, I it amazes me. No one in my family supports anything that I do musically. No one listens to it. No one likes it. No one compliments it. Nothing. Nobody shares it. And hey, you know, it is what it is. But I have a good-sized family. But I get more support from absolute strangers than I do from the people in my, you know, my support circle that you would think that, you know, they love me and they're going to support me. But they don't. Crazy. It's crazy to think like that. So we really are surrounded by that every single day. At least I am. I don't want to speak for anyone else, but I have a feeling that a lot of the tortured musician scenario and tortured artist scenarios that we read about and hear about are because of that. So many stories are about people that weren't accepted, that weren't loved, that weren't cared about, that were shunned, that were neglected, that were thrown to the side, told no 1,000 times, you know. I mean, I got a great story. You want to hear a great story about perseverance? And I'll give you more insight into who I am. So somewhere around 20 years ago, you know, I used to work for Home Depot. I was just a bum, you know, just a kind of bouncing around. You know, I was in my mid-20s, came back from New York City and Boston, had no idea what I was doing. Music wasn't panning out the way I had anticipated it. So I was just kind of, you know, in limbo. The girl I was with at the time, I was engaged to her. The second time around, I was engaged to somebody. I have terrible luck with relationships. Surprising, right? But the second time around, so we were living in Boston. She wanted to come back home. We're both from, you know, Buffalo, New York. I came home a month after we got home. She decides, I'm done with this. And off she goes. Sorry, I'd let my dog out. So here I am back. I'm back home. But I mean, just because I grew up in Williamsville, not Buffalo. So I don't know anybody. It's, you know, eight years after I graduated high school. Everybody's off doing their thing. And to that end, I didn't really even have that many friends in high school that stuck with me. In fact, I don't really talk to anyone from high school in a personal way on Facebook, social media here and there. But, you know, I've reconnected with a few people once. But, you know, I'm that typical loner, rebel, a-hole guy that just has no friends. Because, again, I was off trying to do my own thing. And most people thought I was an idiot and crazy and stupid for doing it. So they just went their way, I went mine. But, you know, anyway, the point was, here I am in my mid-20s working some shit job, and I get fired from the shit job after a little over 5 years working for Home Depot. New manager came in, just didn't like me. They were cleaning house, whatever the case may be. They found 3 things to write me up for, gone. So I have a new child at this point. So, you know, my life is kind of like, ooh, this sucks, because, you know, I bought a home. We got a new kid in a semi-new relationship, you know, with my now wife, but back then it was pretty new, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I'm kind of shitting my pants. I get another job working for a furniture company, and, you know, I'm a logistics manager now. So again, and I'm not putting anyone down, but these are not, you know, high paying, awesome jobs. I'm making under 40 grand a year, working 50, 60 hours a week. You know, it's just a job, not what I would quote unquote call a career. I was just killing time, and I had to make some kind of money. So to me, 40 grand at that point was a substantial increase. So, you know, here I am feeling good about myself. And about 8 months into the job, we're out delivering furniture, and I had to go on the trucks as a logistics manager or whatever I was to make sure the guys weren't like smoking crack in the trucks and they were presentable, because it was kind of upscale. They delivered furniture to a lot of the sports celebrities out here. Couches were like 10 grand, you know, just crazy money. High-end stuff. I don't know if it was high-end quality, but it was high-end price. So in any event, the clientele was high-end. So there was an expectation when you went in, put the little booties on, everybody wore the uniform. People didn't smell like weed or cigarettes, you know, crap like that. Anyway, I get to this one house out in East Aurora, New York. And, you know, if you're not from this type of an area, homes out here, you know, for $200,000-$300,000, you got a couple thousand square feet and a good size yard. You know, I'm talking like acreage type yard. So these homes we were delivering to were, you know, probably $500,000-$600,000 homes, and they had, you know, massive lots. And what that means is in this area, the frontage of your house exists. You know, you go to California or New York City, you don't even know what you're talking about. You basically have enough front yard that's the length of your car, maybe, and that's it. And then it's the road. Here, you've got like, some people have an acre of land in front of their house and then 20 or 30 acres behind it. So these bigger homes out, you know, in the South towns, they're huge. So anyway, we get to this house and the driveway, honestly, is probably like an eighth of a mile long, snaking, weaving up, down, you know. Of course, nobody shoveled the driveway or anything like that, so it's completely covered in snow. So not only is it difficult to navigate the driveway with the truck, these trucks suck. They don't in any way, shape, or form belong on any kind of road that's not plowed. They just, these tires don't work. If you've never driven a truck or been in, you know, a commercial full-size box truck or a flatbed-type vehicle, you can't relate to this, but I'm explaining to you. They suck in the winter. They have no traction. They have no power. They just don't work on any kind of grades. I can't tell you the number of times we were going up hills and the truck just starts going backwards. Despite the fact that I have it floored trying to go forward, it's still just going backwards out of control down a hill. It's like, what the hell? Insanity. So in any event, you know, we had a buddy system. I get out of the truck to help the other guy who's a more experienced driver get the truck, you know, up this little hump so we could deliver this guy's couch for the third time, of course. And as the truck starts to slide backwards and it's kind of like falling off this guy's driveway, I slipped in the driveway and fell on the back of my head and my neck, and I blew out 3 discs in my neck. And let me tell you the nightmare that created. I mean, I know this is getting to be long-winded and whatnot, but there's a point to all of this. Trust me. And it's kind of an interesting story. But it's all about perseverance, and I'll explain to you what I'm talking about here now. So long story short, 2.5 years I'm out on workers' comp. I end up having to sue civilly because I can't go back to work doing this because my neck is all messed up. The surgeons are telling me that there's only a 60% chance that if they do the fusion in my neck, that it'll even make any difference. But I'll be guaranteed to lose mobility in my neck, and there's all these associated risks with that type of surgery. You know, this is like I said, this is like 15, 20 years ago. Maybe it's different now, but back then they're going through the front of your throat. It's crazy. So unless you're like in crazy pain or can't move or anything, there's no way to do that. But that doesn't change the fact that I can't do that kind of work anymore. And in fact, I even have trouble, you know, looking at books and holding my head in a set position for a long period of time, even still. So I didn't do any of the surgeries, but the problem was I couldn't go back to work, but I had to get a job. You know, I can't live on comp forever. The case settled, and get this. So I got a $90,000 settlement. You think, whoa, that's pretty good for a slip and fall. Well, you know what? Workers' comp takes every penny that they paid you right off the top. My lawyer didn't tell me that. So I lost $31,500 from my settlement right off the top. The lawyer takes their third from the total, not from the devalued settlement after comp. So they got like 30 grand, and I ended up with like $22,000 for 2.5 years being out of work. That's not even enough money to have compensated me for lost wages. So be careful when you go out on comp and think you're going to, you know, things are going to work out. And you see all this crap on TV where they're talking about, my client got multi-millions of, it's horseshit. When everything is said and done, and then you got to pay taxes on it. And as soon as that money hit my bank account, all the creditors that I owed came in and started freezing the money. It was an absolute nightmare. I ended up having to declare bankruptcy anyway. So all of that being said, at some point I had to do something. I'm like, well, man, what am I supposed to do? So reluctantly, I took a job at Lowe's they were opening new stores here, and I did some technical stuff here. But my the point was, all along that 2.5 year period, I was teaching myself computer engineering. I tried to go back to school for that, and I did for a period, but it was very difficult with all the doctor's appointments and all this comp stuff. There's requirements. You have to show up at these, or all of a sudden your case is disqualified, you know, all this crap. So it's really hard to do anything. And if you work, you forfeit your claim. I mean, it's just this, it's a nightmare. So once that had finally finished, I had been studying computers from books, because really the internet wasn't what it was back then, today, in terms of the online knowledge. You know, I had to install, you know, I learned a lot about Linux and Unix. So I'm literally installing things from CDs, and, you know, none of it worked. You had to do drivers. If you know anything about that, it was a very tedious process. It wasn't just shove the disk in and poof, there's your operating system. You had to build everything from scratch. So my point is, I learned that, and I had a new skill set. Let me tell you how many interviews I went on before I actually landed my first job in the technology sector. 82. And my kids will be like, oh my God, here comes this story. I've told this story to them a million times because it's a good story. I went on interviews, I don't know, for probably 18 months before I got a job offer, one offer. And that one offer took, I think it was 9 separate interviews to get to the final offer to come in and make $50,000 at a financial institution in a purely technical position. And it was all a hookup. And what I mean by that is that some guy that I hired at Lowe's worked for the bank. And we ended up talking about Linux just because we hit it off as just shooting the shit one day. And he saw that I had skill. And then we started to get into the conversation about, you know, I'm just doing this because I have to. I don't really want to do this. I've been really trying to get into a technical position. And, you know, all the while, sorry, Lowe's, but on my lunch breaks at Lowe's as a manager, I had a suit in my car. I mean, this is crap. I wasn't homeless, but it's like right out of that movie with Will Smith, you know, getting dressed in a bathroom. I was literally changing out of my stupid work gear at Lowe's, out in the parking lot, putting on a suit and tie, shoes, the whole shot, had resumes in my car, my little briefcase thing, driving into the city of Buffalo or wherever these interviews were, taking an interview on my lunch or taking a phone call out in the parking lot, and then coming back to work for the, you know, another 7 hours at Lowe's, and then going home and studying more and filling out more job applications, because some of the stuff wasn't even online at that point. Portals and all that stuff didn't exist. So here I am sending resumes or sending just, you know, emails to random addresses. I don't even know if people are getting these things, but 82 times I was told no. If I stopped at any point in there, I don't even know what I'd be doing today. So you can never really give up on these things is I guess the point. And just because somebody tells you no doesn't mean the next person won't tell you yes. And I know that sounds like a bullshit story, but it actually is true. And it's amazing to me, and it's kind of on my mind because I'm shocked that it's been 20 years since that took place. But it really was that long ago, and it really did change my life. And it really was probably one of the most difficult times from a career perspective in my life. I mean, I went through some heart surgeries and some hard shit like that. So I can't really compare it to a life-threatening situation like that. But it was a very, very challenging time where I had people in my family telling me I was an idiot, that I was stupid. What are you doing? Why do you keep trying? You're never going to get there. And, you know, these are people that are supposed to love me. My man Bill Burr can relate to this. I know he has stories about, you know, telling about his family. They're talking about, you know, all the horrible things that were going on. And he's like, yeah, these are the people that love me. And this is how they treated me. Yeah, that's what I got. I got help from a complete stranger, really. Some guy I met at a job that I hired to help me get into the tech sector. And still it was all bullshit because we had to say we knew each other for a long time and blah, blah, blah. Because no one, God forbid, in that day and age would believe that just some random guy would know how to do anything from a computer engineering perspective just because you have a basic intellect and applied yourself. And really, I don't fit in that industry. I mean, if you were to look at me, I'm 6'1"-ish, you know, like 270 pounds, and I look like a biker or a bouncer. I don't look like a guy in tech. So that in and of itself has also been a difficult sell. And when I get in there and have all this, you know, exuberance and confidence and knowledge, people just, they don't know what to, I mean, I've actually sat in interviews where they didn't know what to ask me and they said that. And I'm like, wow, you know, you would think that's a good thing that you're that overqualified. But in fact, it's not. I was not offered positions in companies because of those scenarios. And that's even happened more recently. You know, it's like I've worked for companies in Silicon Valley and people are like, oh, you know, that seems great. Yeah, that's only great for other companies in Silicon Valley. You show up at an interview at another company, like arguably even the company I work for now, and they don't know what to do with you because you are already beyond them in the interview. So if you're interviewing for an engineering position, even though the position says they want, you know, extremely qualified, all these years of experience, all this experience at scale, if they're not there yet, they're going to have a hard time seeing the value that you're bringing and instead look at you as some kind of a threat or like, well, we're not going to know what to do with this guy because he's intimidating me already because he knows more than I do about stuff. I've only worked at this place my whole career. So it gets kind of crazy. But what I really learned from a lot of this experience, you know, in the last 10 years, I'd say, you know, working for like Yahoo, Google, stuff like that, is, and look, let me clarify, I've never worked at Google. I say Google because when I worked at Yahoo, Marissa Mayer from Google came over as the CEO and Googleized, air quotes, Yahoo. That's why that company lasted 4.5 years. So say what you will about that girl. I mean, she was absolutely gorgeous anyway, so it was impossible not to look at her. I hope that doesn't sound too awful, but I was like starstruck when I saw her for the first time. I'm like, oh my God, this girl's brilliant. And look at her. She's absolutely gorgeous. It's just crazy. Super smart, super nerdy. I mean, it was just the greatest combination you could hope for. But you could tell she had that weird laugh, you know, that weird super smart person laugh. Like she was totally awkward in public, but yet she did it anyway because it was part of the role, you know, that she assumed. But anyway, I never worked for Google as an employee. I worked for Yahoo that was turned into Google, and that's why it lasted for another 4.5 years when she took over. Because that company was nosediving, you know, 6 months, 7 months after I got hired. They went through, I think, 3 CEOs the first 6 months I was, 6, 8 months I was there. And then Marissa came in and just steered everything into the right direction, but unfortunately couldn't do it fast enough for the investment scenario. Missed out on some pretty critical tax law changes that screwed up the Alibaba investments. And, you know, ultimately they had to sell the company to Verizon or whoever bought it. And, you know, I lost my job. But let's bring this back in. We need to have these types of critical thoughts. We need to have difficult conversations. It's okay to disagree with people. It's not okay to just shout and yell at each other and never concede anything. That's not how life works. Everything is a compromise. No matter what you look at in your life, look at your job. You know, well, yeah, I make a lot of money, but I work a lot of hours. That's a friggin' concession. Well, I make a lot of money, but I have to drive far. That's a concession. You know, all those things are concessions, and we do it all the time. I just can't understand why we're so fixated on these spoiled brat Democrat fucking idiots, and they just can't get past this simple thing. Fine, hate Trump. How does that affect me? You're fucking screwing me now. I don't care if you hate Trump. Getting rid of him isn't going to help me. What you're doing now is hurting me and all the other American people. And it's even further embedding this stupidity that you've presented yourself in. I mean, what are you doing? You're not making anything better for anyone by going after this guy, whether he's the biggest piece of shit or not. He got elected. People voted for him for whatever the reason. I don't even care at this point. What I do care about is that we're not doing anything to actually make things better. And I honestly and truly believe that there's going to be an escalation of epic proportions that we haven't seen in a very long time, very soon. I mean, I can't even believe that there haven't been mad gunmen out shooting people in our political houses at this point. I'm just waiting for that shoe to drop. I mean, we have psychos that are out there willing to run around and just shoot random people. There are people on TV and on social media screaming every single day, come get me. You know, I mean, I would be terrified if I were a politician at this point that's being very boisterous and, you know, obligatory toward people that, you know, other people support. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I'm so fed up with it. I'm so encapsulated in it. I'm trying to get it all out in this podcast. I know no one listens to these things, so this is more like a shoot your mouth off diary for me, because nobody cares what I'm saying. Just like nobody really cares about all the music that I work so hard to put out. And yeah, I'm bitter about those things. Who wouldn't be? You know, I talked about all this hard work I put into engineering. I make a shit ton of money doing that now. You know, I make a good wage as an engineer and have for many years. I can't even make, like I said, minimum wage at a full-time job at music. So I think we're all entitled to be a little bitter about that. You know, I mean, I'm putting out a good product. I'm doing everything I can to try to sell that product and get it in front of people. And yet I'm fighting Walmarts, basically, you know, in terms of big labels. I don't have $1 million to promote my music. You know, does that mean I shouldn't be able to make 50 grand a year doing it? I mean, just so we're clear, that's all I'm talking about. I'm not telling you I want to be Lil Wayne or Lil something or Lil whoever. You know, I'm not looking to be a multimillionaire doing this. Maybe that's my problem, but I'm trying to just be a small independent business person that can make a reasonable living. I mean, it should at least be minimum wage, because then that goes into that vicious cycle of like, well, people can't survive on minimum wage, so of course they're going to stay on welfare. What's the incentive to get out of bed and go work your ass off for 40 or 50 hours a week if it's not going to help your position any more than just staying home and being on welfare and getting free money and free insurance and free food? There's no incentive to that. And maybe that's the point of that program as well, but that's not who I am. I'm a very driven individual, but I'm driven based on not only passion, but results. At some point, we all need a bone, man. You know, every dog needs that bone once in a while. You can't just keep hanging that carrot in front of my face for 1,000 miles and expect me to give a shit after, you know, it's like at some point you go, what's the point? You can't make a real go at this, then why, you know, it just stays a hobby, and that's totally fine because I don't need this to be a full-time job. I want that. Let me be clear about that. This isn't a requirement. It's a want. But I believe that we should all have an equal and fair opportunity and not some smoke blown up our ass saying, oh yeah, you can do this. It's horseshit. I've been on a playlist for, it's almost a year now. One song. Really? Even Spotify, I have 100 songs that I've released since December of 2018. December 25th, 2018 was my first release. That first release is the only song that's ever been put on an editorial playlist. It's the only song that makes any kind of money. It's the only song that anyone may have heard of mine for the most part. I don't even think I have 1 million streams of the 99 other songs combined. But I have almost 3 million of just that one. And still, they don't take any other songs. I don't get any recognition in any way, shape, or form from anything else. My fans grow literally by 1 to 2, maybe, every week or so. And I say this over and over, I'm very thankful for that, because it's blowing my mind that anyone is listening to my stuff, because clearly I have no idea what I'm doing from the business side. You know, I got a song that's got almost 3 million plays actively. This isn't some old thing. This is right now. It gets 10 to 15,000 plays a day. Yet not a single one of those people that play it, let's just say it's a 1-to-1. So if I had yesterday I had 15,000 people stream that song. And this is true of the co-writer of that song as well, because I look at his profile and we talk about this occasionally. None of our other songs are doing shit based on that. And that's, you know, less important to him because he just shows up as a writer, unfortunately, not as an artist it doesn't show up on his page, but this does show up on my page. So if you go to Garrett Michael Conklin on Spotify or, you know, any streaming site, this song is there and it'll be the top song on every streaming site I have. It's the top song there is, strictly because of the numbers from Spotify. It's weird how that carries over, but it's the top song, period. And I'm thankful for that. It's wonderful. You know, we did it without a label, blah, 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 all that crap. But at the same time, how does that yield no results for anything else? What is the game here? What is it that you need to do? Someone please tell me. Someone please blast me on social media. Help me understand why that song got picked. No, none of the 99 other songs I have are worth another playlist ad. That song has been re-added to that playlist 4 times. Because I get in, and it's weird. I would say, what do you mean? It's been re-added. Well, they fall off. But because of the numbers of that song, it's hysterical. It perpetuates itself. Like, I'm doing nothing for that song anymore. It just sits on that playlist. And that's awesome. But the simple fact that it's on that playlist triggers the algorithm for that playlist to put it back on the playlist. Follow that fucking logic. So it's like, well, yeah, of course it's on the playlist. Again, because, like I said, it got 500,000 plays in the last 3 months. Yeah, that's going to set the, you know, set the trigger on the algorithm. Say, yeah, it's a good song. Well, no shit, it's a good song. But that's how impersonal it is. Nobody's picking these fucking songs. So the problem is, how do you get a song that's not in a playlist to have 1 million streams without trying to game the system? And I talked a little bit about this yesterday. Don't game the system. Don't do this. Don't do that. I understand that. But how am I supposed to get 1 million fans? How do you do that without paying somebody to do that for you? I don't have that kind of connection or network. I'll never get there. How am I supposed to do that with just sharing crap on Facebook? You know, I mean, I think if you follow me on Facebook or we're friends or anything like that on social media, that's basically all you see on every piece of my social media is me sharing. I've connected all the apps together. So if I share it to Facebook or Instagram, it goes to Twitter. It goes everywhere. I've even been putting crap on LinkedIn just to try to be creative. I mean, that's a completely ridiculous place to post songs and videos because it's a professional website about, you know, for me, it's focused on engineering and technology. But I'm like, I don't know, I'll try anything, man. But none of it works. You know, I released a song, I don't know, a week and a half ago. It doesn't even have 1,000 plays. Yet I have a song on a playlist that yesterday had 15,000. It makes no sense. You know what I'm saying? It's completely unbalanced. So I don't even, you know, I'm willing to invest money in this. I've told you I have invested money in this. I'm happy to promote things, but they don't work. You know, I've worked with labels and we've talked about promotion. We've done promotion. You see that their numbers go up. It's all paid for. They're not organically growing. They're paying to grow. What other job? Can you name another job that's out there where you know, what am I saying? Pay to play. But every article you read says, oh, you can't pay to play. But that's all you can do to make anything happen unless somehow something goes viral. And those are kind of on the extreme cusp. You know, I mean, it's like, how did my song get on a playlist? That's a complete fluke. I have no idea how that happened. I mean, I've looked at the submission. I mean, there was nothing special about any of it. I had no track record whatsoever as an artist. I mean, that's the biggest kicker of it all, is that it's not like I could even look back and go, okay, well, you know, I wrote this great song. And, you know, I played horn on this great song with another writer that wrote a great song, and it was a collaboration. I've done 30 collaborations since then. And, you know, in some cases, in my opinion, some of them are better than that one. I like them better. Doesn't mean that this song isn't amazing, but it's almost getting kind of jaded at this point because there's no justification for why it did what it's doing. How the hell did that thing get picked up? I mean, I literally did it wrong. So they tell you, oh, you got to put your release out, you know, 7 to 10. That's horseshit. This thing, I literally uploaded it the week before. So that's already within 7 days because you can't count the weekends. Nobody's looking at shit on the weekend. So they had from Monday to, I think it was Friday, the week of, whatever the week of Christmas was, because it came out on the 25th. And I uploaded it 1 week prior to that. I had no real followers on Facebook, no presence, nothing like what I have, you know, 8-10 months later that I've promoted to get to. You know, I got like almost 3,000 page likes on Facebook or whatever that is. You know, I've got more people following me on Instagram. I'm doing this stuff here. You know, I put out a ton more songs. I've been sharing way more. I had nothing. No one knew anything about me whatsoever. I put this thing up with a shitty cover that I made myself. The artwork was, you know, it's crap. Look at it. It's just a wave, you know, one of those tsunami waves. That's all, you know, because it was the guy that I worked with runs Tsunami Sounds. I'm like, oh, this would be cool. Maybe he'll like that. And then I put a star with my name and, you know, and I put his, I mean, it's like a 1980s photo. It's ridiculous, but I thought it was cool. But it's against everything in the lo-fi. It doesn't match any of that stuff in that genre. And it was within, it was the only possibility is that somebody, honestly, in my opinion, at this point, it was a Christmas gift. Because literally I uploaded it on Christmas Day. Or I'm sorry, it released on Christmas Day because I'm like, well, people have been doing nothing. So maybe somebody will hear new music. And on the 26th, that song got 1,400 streams. I'm like, what the hell just happened? And I didn't even get an email, nothing. I got absolutely nothing telling me it was going to be on this playlist like I've got subsequently. So I'm like, what is going on here? And I actually sent in a support ticket to Spotify saying, what the hell's going on? I see all these plays, but I have no idea where they're coming from. And they replied telling me that, oh, your song was picked up by the new beta program for editorial playlist personalization that we're trying out. And I was like, wow, awesome. So I guess I got thrown a bone and it ain't never coming again. And it's, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm thankful for it. It represents, you know, an achievement to a great degree. You know, I know a lot of people are probably like, you fucking dick. I've yet to get on a playlist. My shit's way better than yours. Shut the fuck up. Hey, man, I feel you. I absolutely completely support that perspective. You should have that because it's bullshit. The whole system is just ridiculous. It makes no sense. There's no clear way to do anything. Nobody tells you a clear way to do anything. I've watched countless, you know, infomercial air quote things on, you know, from Adam, these guys that some of my friends have sent me. They don't fucking tell you anything. Oh, well, yeah, you gotta have multiple streams of income. Yeah, no shit, dumbass. What the fucking hell are they and how do you do it? Well, just tell me the obvious shit that I already know. Ah. I can't stand that even in my regular career when people, you know, they're like, oh, you're on call this week. Oh, awesome. Well, where's the documentation? Well, we don't have it. So just kind of figure it out. What the fuck do you mean? At 2 o'clock in the morning when I get an alert saying the site is down, I'm just supposed to figure it out? That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. It goes right along this path. It's like, well, you're setting people up to fail. Why would you do that? If you're going to hold someone accountable to an SLA for site uptime, you're going to set them up with no way of keeping the site up. So basically I'm going to get woken up and then I'm just going to go, well, I don't know how to fucking fix this. Let me call the next guy. I mean, it's just as ignorant as it can get. You can't get any dumber and more poor of a process than that. And that's what music is. Here, let me show you how to do this. And I'm not going to show you how to do this. I mean, how many of you guys have watched those videos like I have and follow those fucking links they put on Facebook? And then, of course, they're trying to sell you something too, right? Well, enroll in my course and I'll give you... Fucking shut up. Who the hell are you telling? You're going to enroll in your fucking course and you're going to tell me how to become a... It's absurd. There's no other industry... You know, I can go on Udemy and learn anything I want about technology. Anything. Every language is there. Every technology is there. All kinds of stuff in the tech sector. And then I can go get a job doing it. You know, music will never just fucking give you that break. It just doesn't work that way. You got to struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle basically for most people forever. Then you get nowhere. And it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm sure it's the same in every art. You know, like people try acting and it just never happens. We've seen plenty of shit actors that only got the role because, I don't know, they blew somebody, they knew somebody, or they're great looking, or they have no skill otherwise. How many musicians are like that too? A vast majority of them. Sorry. Celebrities that are out there, you know, especially some of this newer music that's just, it's not that I don't get it, it's just shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're not even being creative. You're just recycling the same old crap. And now I don't even know what you're saying because it's just so gibberish and makes no sense to me at all. And I'm not an old fart, okay? Yeah, I'm in my 40s, but I'm not some, you know, I'm not that out of touch and I'm in this world, so I'm aware of what's going on. I got kids, you know, that are in that whole, that's their culture. I know what time it is in that respect. It's just shit. It's not real music. It's like, how many videos do we got to see of poor Wayne out there pretending he can play guitar? You can't fucking play guitar, dude. Stop doing that. You look like a moron. I mean, you got other skills, you know, focus on that shit. You know, I can't rap to save my life. I can't write a rap. I'm not going to pretend I can and go out and look like a moron just because I'm a big star and can do it. Madonna did the same fucking thing and walk out with a guitar. Like, come on, dude, you can't fucking play guitar. Why would you even do that? I mean, how many times do we got to watch award show where these stupid celebrities get out there and lip sync the whole fucking thing? How, and oh, everybody's cheering. Oh boy, that's garbage. Anybody could do that. I mean, I'll give credit to the people that at least dance, you know, like, and, you know, I think Gaga's pretty talented, or like, you know, Jennifer Lopez, you know, but if they lip sync, good for them, because they're out there fucking killing it on the dance floor. I get that. You can't sing when you're running. That's pretty hard to do. And basically their dance moves are so cardiovascular extensive and strenuous that, shit, I'm even having trouble talking now, and I'm just angrily pacing back and forth in my kitchen. You know what I'm saying? And you can hear me breathing. Yeah, I'm not in shape or anything, but I'm just saying. It'd be difficult to sing running around, you know what I mean? If you're not in tip-top shape. And then they don't just sing like rock music. They're singing like, you know, you got to be on pitch and on key, and there's vibrato. You know, it just ain't going to work like that, man. Anyway, maybe that's enough today. 40 minutes? Ooh, we got going today. I don't know. I'm having fun doing this. Maybe I'm getting better at it. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. I don't really care. If you're checking them out, cool. If not, you know, whatever. This is therapeutic for me. All right. Have a good day.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.